So, my dear brothers and sisters, these three most holy days of the year for us have begun, and I hope and I pray that that each of us will enter into these next 3 days into the Passion with the Lord, because the rescue plan is being carried out, and He's coming. He's going through His passion to rescue us. But in this walk with Jesus, it's important that we take time to pray with every stop. And so today we stop in this Mass at the Last Supper. We stop at this Mass at the washing of the feet, and we contemplate what God has done. And I'm very grateful to be a part of this and to be here, to be the pastor here at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton is a great grace. Sometimes you take things for granted. And actually, last Easter, I don't know if you remember, but last Easter, I wasn't able to be with you because I was going through my second bout of COVID. And so I had to watch through the camera as you celebrated the three most beautiful days of the year praying for you, but in jealousy. So it's wonderful to actually not have COVID this time. I had it in January, so I can't have it now. At least that's what the doctors tell me. To be celebrating this Easter Triduum. You know, there are two very important things that we need as human beings, and that those two things that we need in order to thrive, we need to be loved and we need to love. As human beings, that is how we grow, that is how we thrive. And so God is love. And because we are created in the image and likeness of God, we are therefore loved by God because we are his children. We also see this love especially played out in the Trinity. I don't know, there are many books written in theology on the Trinity trying to explain the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There are there's probably enough books to fill libraries in the whole world. And a lot of saints have said a lot of beautiful things about the Trinity. But one of the most beautiful things I've ever read on the Trinity was when I was in the seminary. I was working on my final thesis, and it was a book. And now I can't remember the name of the author. It was a long time ago. It was a long time ago now. Anyway, in this, it was like a 100-page book, so very short. And in that 100-page book, I read probably the best synthesis of the Trinity that I had studied in all of the seminary. And what the author was trying to get across was, How do we explain the Trinity? The Trinity is explained in one word: love. The love that exists between the Father and the Son produces, brings forth the Holy Spirit. And so there are many other ways to describe the Trinity, good theological ways, but I found that this is the easiest way for all of us to understand, because we all understand love. And that love that God has for us exists in the Trinity. And so tonight, as we begin the Lord's Passion, we experience this love. And in the gospel, as we were listening to it in the Gospel of John, he said, "He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end." In other words, there is no limit to the love of God for us, to the love of God for his children. which is not just the general children, but is you and it's me. There is no limit, there is no end to that love. And what is the utmost proof of the love of Christ, of God for us? There are three ways that we see the proof of the love of God. The first and foremost is he gives us the Eucharist. He has given us the priesthood, is the second sign of the love of God. And the third is he gives us the commandment of true love. Love one another as I have loved you. It is in each of these gifts that we meet our greatest needs, to be loved and to love. There's a beautiful story that happened during the funeral of St. John Paul II. There were about 5 million people there, and most of us probably remember watching the funeral on TV and how touching it was. But when a pope dies, the news and the media goes all over it. You know, they want to sit there and speculate who's going to be the next pope and what's going to happen, and you know, there's a whole media coverage to it. In one of these news coverage, I think it was Good Morning America, that was interviewing people, and they came upon a priest who had been up all night hearing confessions, and you could see that he was exhausted, but he was smiling. And so the reporter from Good Morning America said to him, what have you been doing, Father? You look tired. And he said, I was listening to the confessions of the young people all night. And the Good Morning America, the reporter from Good Morning America said to them, I was listening to confessions all night. And he said, and so the reporter said, oh, you must have been listening to the old people's confession. Because the young people, they want change in the church. The young people, they don't want to go to confession. They don't want to have a relationship with God. They want to bring change. And the priest looked at the reporter from Good Morning America with a sign of love and said, the only thing that these kids want to change is themselves. You could see in this priest the great love that he had for souls, the great zeal that he had for souls. And it is in the priesthood that we experience the love of God, and that I experience the love of God in the gift of being a priest. Because what is my mission here? My mission, is not to be the most popular priest in the Archdiocese of Denver. I won't win that competition, and so that's not my mission. My mission is not to be the most popular priest that walks through the doors of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. There will be other priests much more popular than me. My mission is not to get you to like me the most. My mission is not to make you laugh. My mission is one, to help you have an encounter with the Lord. That is the great gift that God has given me. Now, in that great gift, there is also my humanity. And so, as a human, I don't always do that in the best of ways. And I know that at times, there have been times in this last year in which I was gruff with you, or I didn't say hello to you, or I maybe rubbed you the wrong way. Of course, not with bad intention, but because I am human, it is possible, as hard as you may think that this is, but I know it's easy, that I make mistakes, that I get tired, that I get grumpy, that I get hungry, that my blood sugar drops. And in all of that, as much as a gift as you are to me, and I am to you, as much as God has put us together, I still carry with me my faults. And so as part of this priesthood, for all of the mistakes that I have made in this last year, which you can probably name, Father Joe's mistakes if I ask you to, I ask your forgiveness. Because you are a gift to me, I hopefully am a gift of God to you, but I also carry my weaknesses. And sometimes those weaknesses can do great damage. So forgive me. So the Lord gives us the gift of the priesthood. The Lord also gives us, shows us his love in the Eucharist, in the institution of the Eucharist. And how can we live that gift out in the best way? And my dear brothers and sisters, the best way that we can live that gift is by keeping Christ always as the central pole of our life. And how do we do that? By keeping the Eucharist, by keeping the Mass as the most important thing of our life. You know, we are so used to planning Mass around our lives. Wrong! We should not be planning. Let me search the internet to see, because I got all these things going on. Let's see. Does Our Lady of Fatima, Saint Elizabeth, Saint Joseph, who has the best Mass time so that I can optimize my time? That happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But I'm saying, my dear brothers and sisters, that the Mass, our lives have to revolve around the Mass. The Mass has to be the most important thing. And so I invite you to receive communion, to make an effort to attend Mass every Sunday, to receive communion on a regular, but not only on a regular basis, but also on a worthy basis. And how do we receive Christ in a worthy way? The only way we can do that, my dear brothers and sisters, because like I said before, I carry my faults and my sins. Well, so do you. And how do we experience the forgiveness of our faults, our weaknesses, and our sins? By partaking in the sacrament of confession. Therefore, the sacrament of confession and the Eucharist are intimately linked. You can't have one without the other. And so, I invite you, go to Mass regularly on Sundays. Keep the Mass at the center of your life. Make it top priority. Because it is in receiving the Eucharist that Christ becomes one with us. The third way we witness the love of God is in the commandment of true love. Love one another as I have loved you. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do for others." Tonight I will take a representation of the community, the parish community of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and wash their feet as a sign of service and of love, as a sign of forgiveness. But this is a sign that is meant to be lived out in our daily lives. What we do here tonight in the washing of the feet is something that we should do with all of our friends, with all of our family, as a sign of service, as a sign of love. And I'm not saying go and tell everybody, okay, I'm coming to your house, take your shoes off for me so I can wash your feet. I'm saying that there are many ways for us to wash the feet of the other. There are many ways for us to serve and to love the other. And it is in serving and loving the other that we find the greatest joy. I know that we have some families that have traditions during Holy Week, and I invite you, all of your traditions that I have heard about. I know some of you have traditions for Holy Thursday, some of you have family traditions for Good Friday and Holy Saturday. Please keep those alive, because it is a way of passing faith to the children. But I know families here that after the celebration of the Last Supper go home and actually do the washing of the feet with each other. What a beautiful sign. Because as a families are messy, right? Families aren't messy? Did I drop off the face of the earth somewhere? Families are messy. And you start to step on each other's toes, and you irk each other, and sometimes you speak rough with each other. And it's beautiful tradition to come together as a family and do the washing of the feet, asking each other for forgiveness, loving the other, serving the other. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, today as we do this sign, let us bring it to our lives. Let us bring the love of God to all of those we meet. And so I invite you in this night, go and wash the feet of the others, and you will find Jesus Christ. I now invite those who are going to have their feet washed to please come forward.